And Tiger Woods in the press room at Albany at the Hero World Challenge, preparing to meet the media. We send it out to the Bahamas.
Good. You all set, Matt? All right, we'll get started. We would like to welcome tournament host Tiger Woods and Hero MotoCorp Executive Chairman Dr. Pavan Munjal to the interview room here at the Hero World Challenge. Dr. Munjal, welcome back. I'll start with you. I hear you have an announcement to share with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Ryan. Not just one announcement, but I do have more than one announcement. Good morning to all of you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Albany. Welcome back to the Bahamas for the Hero World Challenge 2023. I'm sure, like me, all of you and everyone else watching us live here is very excited for this upcoming week. I was out there yesterday, played 18 holes of golf. The situation here is great, the conditions are beautiful, and as I see on the weather forecast, the weather gods also are going to be with us. As Ryan said, I have an announcement to make, but I have more than one announcement, the first one being, which all of you know, the man on my right making his third comeback to competitive golf and for the third time at the Hero World Challenge. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that, Tiger. It obviously elevates the stature of the event, obviously gets so much more interest into this particular event, and obviously takes the ratings, whether on television or social media, way, way beyond what we see in the past. The second important announcement is I'm happy to announce that the prize purse for the Hero World Challenge in 2023 is being increased to 4.5 million, which in 2025 will go up to 5 million. At Hero, we do believe it's very important to keep raising the stature of this event and also keep rewarding the players for all their efforts and the time they spend for the game and especially at this event. I'm sure all of us are looking forward to seeing Tiger back on the course, walking 72 holes, and I'm going to be following you, rooting for you. Whether you win or not, the game of golf definitely wins with you coming back on the course. We've seen you in the recent past on TV in Mexico. We've seen you with your son, Charlie, and once again, we'll be seeing you at the PNC Father and Son. So all of us are very excited with you coming back. The stage is set for the Hero World Challenge 23. So I'm handing over back to Ryan.
Thank you, Dr. Munjal. And Tiger, yeah. The announcement about the prize purse, what does that mean for the tournament?
Well, the increase in prize purse just elevates this event, attracts the top players in the world with the event here at Albany and what we've done here throughout the years. And the feedback we've gotten, we've tried to make this event special at the end of the year. These guys have been playing a lot, and we want to make this the most enjoyable week and get them down here and have a great time. And I think that with Hero's involvement in this event has elevated the event. And we're excited to continue that relationship through 2025.
And as far as the competition, obviously making your first start since the Masters, how does the game feel coming into this week?
Well, yeah, my game feels rusty. I haven't played in a while, and so I had my sub Taylor fused, and so I'm excited to compete and play, and I'm just as curious as all of you are to see what happens, because I haven't done it in a while. And I can tell you this, that I don't have any of the pain that I had at Augusta or pre that in my ankle. Now, well, other parts are taking the brunt of the load, so I'm a little bit more sore in other areas, but the ankle's good. So that surgery was a success.
All right, we'll take some questions out here. If you have a question, we'll get a microphone to you. We'll start with Mark right here in the front.
Tiger, when did you decide that you were going to be able to play? What's the buildup been like? And you mentioned not having the pain that you had at Augusta. Mm-hmm. Will it be the same pre-round routine and post-round routines that you were going through?
As far as the commitment to playing, probably after I caddied with Charlie and was able to recover each and every day like that. People don't realize I was still lifting and still doing a bunch of other things too alongside of that. So in conjunction with that and the endurance part of it, all my beach walks at home, just the accumulation of how can I recover? Can I keep progressing at the same time, right? And I was hitting golf balls a lot, trying to get Charlie ready for the event. And then post-event, I started feeling, you know what, I can probably do this. And so why not? I talked to the committee, and the committee of one was able to give me a spot.
Go to Steve in front.
Tiger, how concerned are you walking 90 holes?
You know, Steve, I'm not concerned at all about walking it. It's more the, as I said, I don't have any of the ankle pain that I had, you know, with the hardware that's been placed in my foot. That's all gone, but it's the other parts of my body, you know, my knee hurts, my back. The forces go somewhere else. Just like when I had my back fused, the forces got to go somewhere. So it's up the chain. So as I said, I'm just as curious as with all of you, what's going to happen. I haven't done this in a while.
Rex on the left.
Tiger, I'm sorry to kind of go back, but we haven't really spoken with you. What was your reaction to the June 6th framework announcement?
Well, going back to that, I would say that my reaction was surprised, just like I'm sure a lot of the players were taken back by it, what had happened. And so quickly and without any input or any kind of information about it, and it was just thrown out there. And I was very surprised that the process was what it was. And we were very frustrated what happened, and we took steps going forward to ensure that the player involvement was not going to have, we were not going to be left out of the process like we were. And so part of that process was putting me onto the board and accepting that position.
As part of the board, are you pleased now with the direction of the tour since you're part of the decision-making process?
I'm pleased at the process and how it's evolved. Also frustrated in some of the slowness and the governance change that we want to have happen. And December 31st is coming up very quickly. And so there's the timetable there that we would like to implement some of these changes that have not taken place. The guys, all the player directors have spent so many hours and have worked tireless hours to make sure that we have the best deal for all the players that are involved and all the entire PGA Tour.
Bob?
Tiger, if I could just go back to your own health real quick. Obviously, that surgery quality of life issue is probably much better now.
Yes.
But I'm just curious if will that surgery help your golf in the long run, or does it present more challenges even, given what you had done?
I would say that the procedures I've had done, you know, post the last couple of years, I've had a number of them. And at some point in time, I was going to have to get my ankle replaced or fused. And that timetable was sped up. They weren't expecting me to put as many forces into that ankle as I when I hit drivers and so I think the doctors were surprised by that, and the ankle just went and it was bone on bone, and that's why you saw me, you know, in limping and not feeling very good. And The only way to fix that was either to get it replaced or fused, and we chose the fusion, the subtalar fusion, and put hardware in there. And hey, the process, the next part's the hard part. It's the 6 months of doing nothing. That's the hard part. And you know that then the first couple months were really rough. But I've had the experience. I've gone through it before, and I'm here on the good side now.
Hey, Tiger. You mentioned that the deadline is coming up. From your perspective, how optimistic do you feel like this agreement could come together before the deadline?
Well, I think all the parties are talking, and we're aggressively working on trying to get a deal done. And we're all trying to make sure that that the process is better, too, as well. And so the implementation of governance is one of the main topics, as long as getting the deal done, but make sure that it's done the right way.
But are you in and then Swami?
Tiger, does this deal need to happen in your mind, or would does the deal have to happen, or would an alternative, a plan B, a different deal make sense
we
as
have
well?
We have multiple options, but still... We would like to have a deal done December 31st. I mean, that's what the agreement said, you know, the summer, and all parties understand that. But there are other options out there.
And you touched on governance changes. Could you give a sample of what you think has to change?
Yeah, well, as long as a player has input and we're able to make faster decisions, and the board recognizes that, and I think that is one of the key things that the players, all the player directors have really focused on, and I think that the entire board has been very acceptant of that, and we would just like to make the process faster.
Swami?
One question for Dr. Munjal and one for Tiger. Dr. Munjal, do you often get time to discuss what's happening in global golf with Tiger and what is the rationale or your dream about enhancing the prize purse from $3.5 million down to $5 million within the next 2 years?
We just set up time to discuss global golf as we walked in here. Enhancing the prize purse, as I said, we have to keep up with times. Things are changing. Things are moving forward, moving up in global golf, in terms of the size of the events, the prize purses, and the importance of the events. Clearly, it was important for us also to elevate the Hero World Challenge into the same stratosphere. And as I said, also rewarding the player, inviting the players to come in here. As Tiger said, it's end of the year. They've been playing all through the year, and we do want the best to come in here, which is what we are seeing now.
Tiger. Painless, that word sounds so good, you know. I mean, it's finally back in your lexicon. You're feeling no pain. You're painless now. The prospect of playing 90 holes. You know, time and again, you actually come back home. The Hero World Challenge is your own tournament, benefits your foundation. What is it about this tournament that you choose this as your comeback platform so often?
Well, I think the timing of the event with the injuries that I've had, and I think just the way the event has been with a smaller field size, and the fact that it's at the end of the year, which sets me up for expectations going into the following year. So it's a nice landing spot, and also a great springboard into the following year. And my foundation benefits from it. So there's so many positives that come about because of my ability to be able to play in the event. And so I've found this as a nice little spot to kind of turn the page and move on to the next chapter or the next year. And hopefully this will be a positive step into next year.
We'll go to Dylan, Paul, and then Brody. So no idea the mic. Sorry.
Where are we at?
We're going to Dylan on the aisle right here.
Yeah.
Tiger, do you have a sense of what the professional golf landscape will look like in a year or 2 years, or does it feel as murky to you on the inside of the process as it does to us on the outside?
To answer that question, I would say the answer is murky. I would have to say that there's quite a bit of options out there. There's a lot of moving parts and how we could play. Whether it's here on the PGA Tour or emerging or it's team golf, there's a lot of different aspects that that are being thrown out there all at once, and we're trying to figure all that out and what is the best solution for all parties and best solution for all the players that are involved.
Paul?
Tiger, with Joey caddying full-time for Patrick now, who do you plan to have caddying this week and moving forward for you?
Well, I got robbed this week. He's seen me hit a few shots. As far as next year, I don't know yet. I don't think Charlie's going to be able to caddy. Can't play hooky that often. So I don't know. I honestly really don't know. I was just looking forward to this week and see how things turned out. I'm curious to see, you know, what 72 holes looks like on the body and my game. And then try and set a schedule going forward into next year.
And then just on the TGL, obviously it gets pushed back a year. You're obviously a big part of that. Mm-hmm. Just your thoughts on how that affects the league and just moving forward, your view on the TGL.
Well, I think it was moving very quickly, and I think we can take advantage of time delay. And I think that we can do it right. And I think all the parties that are involved really feel that this is going to be the best thing for it. There's so many partners and so many people that are involved in this this league that have had so much brand experience, and they want to get it right, and they have gotten it right. They're billionaires, and so I think that if we're able to capture that, I think going into 25, I think that it'll be positive for all of us.
Brody in the back.
Whether it be, you know, sharing knowledge with younger players about Augusta or TGL or now taking the tour board, how much have you kind of mentally taken on, like, that role of being a senior presence in the game of golf right now?
Well, don't say senior. I'm not there
yet.
Fair,
yeah.
Okay, hold on. I got a couple more years. But honestly, that part of the transition is I think it's a natural progression that golfers have. When you come out in your 20s, you're young and you're impressionable and you ask questions. And then as you get a little bit older, you have your little run. And then towards the end, you want to pass on all that knowledge to others. That's how the game of golf has grown. That's what we have all learned from. And I didn't discover any of this stuff. This is all stuff I've asked players throughout the years. And I've gotten so much of my direction from asking questions. And I've had some of the best players of all time. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of them aren't here. But just to be able to pick their brains, I think that's what the game of golf is all about.
Do you enjoy the part of being on the board and, you know, in those kind of meetings?
Well, I enjoy the fact that I'm able to make an impact differently than just hitting a golf ball. I made an impact on the PGA Tour for a number of years, hitting a golf ball and doing that. I can have a lasting impact by doing what I'm doing, by being on the board and being a part of the future of the PGA Tour.
Dave, in the second row.
Tiger, hello. How are you? You've made a couple of mentions of potentially looking ahead to next year. In a best-case scenario, what would a schedule for you look like next year?
I think that best scenario would be maybe a tournament a month. You know, I think that's realistic. Whether, you know, that's, you would have to start with maybe like a Genesis and then
players.
Something in March, maybe the players. And again, we have set up right now on the calendar that the biggest events are one per month. Mm. So it sets itself up for that. Now, I need to get myself ready for all of that. And, you know, I think this week is a big step in that direction.
I'm going to take you one other. I'm going to take you way back. It'll be 25 years ago, 99 season, when you really kind of took off. Won your second major at the PGA. Mm-hmm. And then off you went, you know, 3 out of 4 majors in 2000, et cetera. Just wonder your thoughts looking back on that. I mean, does it feel like 25 years? And, you know, it's just the whole,
My body will tell you it feels a lot longer than 25 years. But looking back on that year, I think what people miss on that year, and that's something I don't miss, is that I won 8 times that year.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good year. And I know that you saw the PGA and at Medina, but the entire year was a big step in the right direction because of what I had just undertaken in 97. Redoing my golf swing, 98 wasn't all that great, making steps in the right direction. And then, you know, right before the Byron Nelson in 99, things just hit. Mm. And I went on a nice run for a few years.
Thank you. Up front here to Mark. Dave, if you could pass the mic forward.
Tiger, Jay Monahan's taken a lot of heat since June 6th. What's your assessment of the job he's done since then? And secondly, you mentioned the team golf aspect of it. Mm-hmm. What is your opinion on team golf's place in the future ecosystem?
I think Jay has been a part of the direction. He understands that what happened prior to that can't happen again, and it won't happen again. Not with the players that are involved and not with the player directors having the role that we have. Now, as far as team golf, there's a way that in which we can all benefit from team golf. It's just how do we do it? And we're trying to figure out that process now, and which we have been. We've been doing it for months, trying to figure out how that all works. What does that landscape even look like? And where do we play? What impact does it have on our PG Tour schedule? And I think that's something that we have focused on and we don't take lightly.
We'll go to Rex and then Todd on the left.
Tiger, as far as the landscape goes, is there a path back to the PGA Tour for the players who joined LIV? And if so, what would that look like?
As far as a pathway, we're still working on that. That's part of the deal we're working through is trying to find a path, whatever that looks like. There's so many different scenarios. That's why I said there's a lot of sleepless hours trying to figure that out, and there's a lot of participation of the players, and what does that look like?
Todd?
Tiger, what are the emotions that drove you to be on the policy board?
Well, I think the overall emotion is, I think what I answered with Rex earlier, is that we can't let that happen again. And how do we do that? Well, is having 6 player directors. And so we control the board and we control what we're going to do. We're not going to have what transpired in a few months without our involvement again. Yes.
Bob?
Tiger, the new company, I guess, PGA Tour Enterprises,
mm-hmm.
What's being discussed is significant sums of investment, no matter where it's coming from, whether it's PIF or private equity, what have you. Do you have an opinion on what you would like to see that become? Like, what would they be investing in that would obviously have to be pretty big to get the kind of return that we're talking about?
Yeah, everyone involved wants a return, and that's just part of doing deals. But we have to protect the integrity of our tour and what that looks like and what that stands for going forward. And that is trying to figure all that out. And, you know, the past few months has been a very difficult task. But yes, there are a lot of different options, a lot of different a lot of different parts that are moving, trying to get a deal done, whether it's from all different types of money, what that looks like. But we have to protect what the tour is and the integrity of that and the players.
Were you at all disappointed that Rory decided to move off the board? I'm sure you understand why, but...
I totally understand why Rory made that decision. You know, we put a lot of effort and time into the Delaware meeting and getting everyone aligned for that. And going from there and the next couple of years of just the involvement or the conflict within golf And then his participation at the highest level, he was in contention almost every tournament he played in. And he was the spokesman at the same time. So that was very difficult on him personally, and I totally understand it.
Steve and then Paul.
Is there a part of your game that you're more curious about, and how much golf have you played coming in here?
Well, I've played a lot of holes, but I haven't, you know, I haven't haven't used a pencil on a scorecard, okay? So, you know, now when you put a pencil to paper and it really counts, it's a little bit different story. And so I'm very curious about that as well.
Paul, second row.
Obviously, getting the ankle surgery was a quality of life thing for you, but what motivated the golf side to continue and, you know, push yourself to continue to play?
I love competing. I love playing. I miss being out here with the guys. I miss the camaraderie and the fraternity-like atmosphere out here and the overall banter. But what drives me is I love to compete. There will come a point in time, I haven't come around to it fully yet, that I won't be able to win again. When that day comes, and I'll walk. But now I can walk. I won't say run away, but I'm gonna walk away.
So you being here assumes you think you can still win out here?
Absolutely.
We're going to go to Martin on the right. Over here.
Tiger, you've obviously got a lot on your plate with other matters at the moment, but the Ryder Cup, your name's obviously been mentioned as a possible captain for 2025. What are your thoughts on that at the moment?
Right now, there's too much at stake with our tour to think about a Ryder Cup right now. We have to get this done, and we have to be focused on this for right now. The Ryder Cup can take a beat. The players and everyone involved understand that this is an issue we need to focus on.
There was some noise about, you know, Patrick Cantlay and the hat issue in Rome. What were your thoughts as a youngster in terms of being paid for the Ryder Cup, and have your thoughts ever changed in that respect?
Well, what transpired there is it was media, it was just noise, and then the fact that everyone now carries a mobile device, and that was able to spread. And you're not on home soil. And so anytime someone is, they're going to try and get in your head, and that's what they tried to do. And I totally get it, the emotions. And we all want to win. And you have a home side and an opposing side, you're going to get heat. And that's what happened. Say again, I'm sorry. That wasn't an issue.
We're going to go to Dylan on the left over here.
Yeah, Tiger, you mentioned protecting the integrity of the tour and kind of what makes the tour the tour. And I'm curious, like, now we're in this spot where you've sort of stripped it all back. Everything's potentially on the table. What is important about the PGA Tour? Like, what is the bedrock of what makes professional golf valuable?
Well, I think that's a great question, Dylan. What we have to do is we have to make sure that we have access to the game. I had access to the game. I had an ability to get on tour. We had to ensure that and have ensure that we protect our schedule. That's what I talked about earlier, and our tour and take care of the players. And without the players, there is no tour. And so, how do we take care of them in a better way? Not just financially, obviously everyone wants to get paid, but also how do we have the best competitive atmosphere and competitive events from week to week to week, and what does that look like, and what does it look like for the players to have to be involved in that, and what do they have to give up to have that, and what are, like Bob was mentioning earlier, what investors are looking for to invest in our tour.
We got one on the aisle here, standing up.
Hi, Tiger. You have a good relationship with Rafa Nadal, who is trying to come back in 2024. You did it before, and you are trying to do again. But how do you describe the process for an athlete like Rafa or you, who have win everything and keep the same motivation as ever and trying to get it again?
Well, I think what he's done is extraordinary. He won the Australian Open on a broken foot.
the guy's beyond tough and beyond competitive, and he knows that father time is here. Every athlete faces it, and although some sports it happens faster than others, and unfortunately, just like every sport, you get aged out. And I don't want to see him go. I never want to see Fed go. But that's just what happens. I just think we should all enjoy watching him compete and watch him play and what he's meant to the game. And when it's meant to all of us, just to see the passion and how he plays and why he plays.
Got time for a couple more, Dave?
Yeah, just curious. Bob mentioned the investment aspect. How important is it that PIF is involved, or does it really matter if PIF is involved or not in the ultimate, I guess, scheme of what's going on?
Well, I think that we're looking at all options and trying to figure out what is the best deal for the players, and that there's a lot of moving parts to that, as I was trying to describe earlier.
Mark asked about Jay. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, do you have faith in Jay and what he can bring and what he can still do?
Yeah, that was part of why I came onto the board, is that I did have faith in Jay and what he could do going forward, and what can't happen again.
All right, we'll finish up with Mark and then Todd.
Tiger, are you confident a deal gets done with somebody or some entities by December 31st?
I am confident that a deal will get done in some way, whether that comes December 31st or is pushed back. We're all sides understand are working together. Okay, so there are no lawsuits. Everyone's understanding what that looks like, and we're all progressing going forward. And everyone's working right now with no animosity. We're trying to work to try and get a deal done for the tour and for all parties involved.
Hey, Tiger, I want to follow up. You said you were frustrated. The frustration was a motivation for you to be on the policy board. Was the frustration that about the leadership that with Jay and Ed Hurley and Jimmy Dunn, that they forged this agreement without input from the players, or were you just frustrated that the deal actually happened, the framework agreement?
Well, I was frustrated at the fact that the players were never involved, and this is our tour, and as I was saying earlier to Rex, is that we were all taken back by it. And it happened so quickly without any of our involvement. No one knew. And that can't happen again.
All right, Tiger and Dr. Munjal, thank you very much.
Thank
for
you,
your
everyone.
Time. Tiger Woods speaking at the Hero World Challenge ahead of his first start since the Masters tournament. Damon Hack alongside George Savarikas was a fascinating half hour. Tiger talked about his body, saying that his ankle pain is no longer an issue, but he does have pain elsewhere in his knee, up the chain, as he put it. He also talked about the framework agreement, kind of frustrated with the pace of the changes, but happy that the players have a bigger voice.
Yeah, I thought the three highlights, one, going back to June 6th, and just his disillusionment with how that process played out, the fact that the players really didn't have a voice or a seat at the ultimate table to provide that framework agreement and have any input whatsoever. Then from that, the fact that he's now a player director and has serious involvement in saying, I can make a lasting impact going forward from a governance standpoint versus what I can do inside the ropes. And then I was optimistic in hearing what he had to say as far as pain-free, maybe play once a month. I mean, that was much more bullish than what we had heard beginning of the year or even in 2022. I don't remember Tiger necessarily saying, oh, I'm going to play Hero and PNC and then chart out my schedule for next year and already project ahead. But I think the headlines are definitely Tiger's feelings on June 6th and how that's propelled him now for this next stage of his career, and also saying repeatedly, we want to get a deal done. There could be an extension, and there are other options beyond the public investment fund. So it seems like they're trying to make a deal done, but there's also weight in those words when it comes to public posturing and letting it be known that, hey, they're not the only dance partner necessarily.
Yeah. Tiger Woods has always had an outsized role in this game. But now it's not just inside the ropes. It's also involving PGA Tour governance. You know, there's faith from his fan base that he can, you know, put the genie back in the bottle one more time. But there's also faith from the PGA Tour membership. He's saying, I have faith in Jay Monahan. That's because I came back to the board. But I do have frustrations. That was the word he used in terms of the players being in the dark on June 6th. So he wants that to be something that's different in 2024 and beyond. The frustrated with the pace of the changes, unsure if the deadline of December 31st will be met. But like you, I was surprised that he would, from a playing standpoint, say, hey, you know what? Maybe the Genesis, and then what, March, the players, April, the Masters. I mean, that he wouldn't do that at the height of his power. We were often waiting on a Friday afternoon whether he would play. He did call it a best-case scenario in terms of not knowing how his body will react.
Yeah, and Tiger's usually fairly reserved when it comes to not only divulging his schedule, but as far as what type of pain or sure. maladies he's dealing with. And he was saying, yeah, the pain's pain-free now in my ankle, but it's gone to my knee and my back as my body compensates for all the surgeries and changes that he's made. But when you looked at previous comebacks, and, I mean, in the press conference they said three. We had showed the other day. I mean, there's been like 8 to 10.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, however you define a comeback yeah. with Tiger Woods' career, it seems like the recent ones have been, let's just temper expectations, let me play, and we'll see where we go. So for him, if you just parse through the language that he used, for him to even project, that got me excited, saying, okay, his body's probably feeling a little better than yeah. he had been anticipating. If we can see him play Hero and the PNC, and then he has no setbacks leading up to Genesis, then there's no reason not to believe him or take his words at face value and think, okay, maybe there's a chance he can actually map out a schedule and adhere to them. Yeah. And that would be a huge win for Tiger and golf.
I think he's playing possum a little bit, lowering expectations. Oh, I'm rusty. You know, I've played a lot of holes, but haven't had pencil to scorecard yet. There was a question about, you know, can you win again? Absolutely, he said. So he's going to kind of temper expectations a little bit at the top. You know, oh, it's been a while. I'm as curious as you are at home how I might play. 82-time winner on the PGA Tour, a 15-time major champ, isn't suddenly going to come back and think, well, I'm not too sure about my gifts. Somewhere in the recesses of his mind, and maybe even farther front of his mind, he believes that he's got a little something for these players, and by coincidence and thankfulness for us in the media as well.
Well, and we had talked about this yesterday on Golf Today, and if you're Tiger Woods or any arguably one of the greats in your sport of all time, when you reach a latter stage of your career, especially in golf, you think, I can recapture what I've had, and it just takes one magical week to make the whole arduous process of recoveries, comebacks, setbacks, recoveries, comebacks, setbacks, worthwhile for Tiger. And if you look at his 5 starts that he's made since the car crash, pretty nondescript. And even in 2020, prior to that, he had had a top 10 finish at the Farmers Insurance Open. This is the recent form for Tiger Woods. A T45 at the Genesis, WD at the Masters. Made the cut. But made the cut at the PGA Championship, WD. 47th at the Masters, was T10 after that first round. Got everyone buzzing, to sure. say the least. But, I mean, if you zoom out, in 2020, he finished top 10 at the Farmers Insurance Open. Next best finish was T37. So it's not like Tiger was gangbusters in 2020 before COVID or even during that COVID season on the PGA Tour. He hasn't contended in a while. So the first step is for him to just be able to say, okay, these are the events I'm going to play, and then I can make sure my body is finely tuned to tee it up there.
Right.
The next step is for him to actually get the juices and start going on that trend. That, remember what he did in 2017, finished top 10 at the Hero, and he said that was big at forecasting into 2018.
Yeah.
Then in 2018 had that monster year, contended in a couple majors at the Open and the PGA Championship as Tiger Woods exits the media center in Albany, then won the Tour Championship. Then you go into 2019, the Masters and the Zozo. Now, to say he's capable of another run like that, I mean, you're really going pie in the sky to say multiple wins in a major. I think Let's just start with if he can set a schedule and he says, I can absolutely win again. This guy's won 82 times on the PGA Tour. You have to believe his words that if everything lines up, that the search for 83 isn't improbable.
Yeah, it's not improbable. I think you're spot on to mention the process of 2017 and 2018. And you're watching Tiger leaving the press room there. And it looked like he was moving a little bit slowly. At the same time, you're looking at him in that shirt when he sat down next to Dr. Munjal. He looks completely jacked and strong as well. But I think it would be a process. If there is to be a 16th major championship or even an 83rd PGA Tour win, there will probably have to be some steps, like we saw in 2018, contending at that Open Championship at Carnoustie, contending at a PGA, trying to chase down Brooks Koepka at Bellerive, and then, of course, the magical 2019 at the Masters. But there's a reason that Tiger Woods has asked questions about Rafa Nadal and Novak Djokovic and Tom Brady. He is on the mountaintop of athletes, not just golfers being on the Mount Rushmore, but on the all-time athletes list. There are certain people that have competed in sports that he can relate to, not just with their athletic brilliance, but also men and women who have come back from issues and injury, a la Rafa Nadal, who's trying to make another comeback and maybe close the gap on his Grand Slam chase with Novak Djokovic. But there's a reason that Tiger hasn't had Rafa Nadal or a Roger Federer inside the ropes walking a practice round with him. There was a reason why Tiger had a great friendship with Kobe Bryant and would pick his brain from time to time. These athletes are built in a different way, and I don't think Tiger would be back just because he's involved with PGA Tour governance. There's a competitive aspect that he talked about as well.
Of course. And Tiger, I mean, he says, if I get to the point where I don't believe I can win,
yes,
I'll walk away.
He's not there yet.
But it's rare to see the greats really walk away until they get so far past the point that what the outside world believes and has seen for quite some time, then the athlete gets to realize that. Like Jerry Rice went from the 49ers to the Raiders, and then people forget he was like
the Broncos camp, for a minute,
Seahawks
for a minute.
These guys change jerseys down the road generally in other sports. It's rare to see them go out on top or even playing at a really high level like Tom Brady. But again, if the body responds the correct way, I think golf fans should be pretty optimistic with what he's saying. These 72 holes are going to be very important for Tiger to really believe in his body's abilities and how it can respond to the recovery he needs round and round.
Yeah.
For him to play five straight days, four rounds in tournament, I mean, that's going to be our case study pretty much until the Genesis.
Yeah, he's fueled by competition and also fueled by the future of the PGA Tour and this framework agreement and what it's going to look like. And who would have thunk that a decade ago, that Tiger would want to be at a PGA Tour board meeting as he was in Ponte Vedra Beach, that he would want to be involved having, as he said, long hours on the call or sleepless nights as these player directors have. I think it speaks to his, you know, view of his legacy and what the PGA Tour has meant to him, what he has meant to the PGA Tour, the legacy he wants to leave, his word, not mine, legacy, a word he brought up as well, and what he wants the future of the PGA Tour to look like. So he's carrying two very big, I don't want to say burdens, but at least tasks. One is competitively, and one is the legacy aspect of the PGA Tour.
And it was a massive pendulum swing. If you look at the steps involved to get to June 6th, and for Tiger Woods to be completely in the dark with this type of tectonic shift in the professional golf world, if someone told you that a year in advance, you'd say impossible.
Like,
there's no chance that could ever happen. You couldn't even fathom that in the realm of possibility. So it went from Tiger being completely in the lurch to then Tiger being a player director and instrumental in these meetings. And you could tell in his tone, I mean, there was a lot of disdain in the fact that he wasn't involved in those conversations. But he sounds like he is very engaged going forward, and it's a positive step for the players. And he said, I'm confident a deal will get done. But he didn't say timeline or with who. He said it could be December 31st. There could be extensions. Just talking, I mean, this is such a large-scale agreement. I thought December 31st at the outset was very bullish. We'll see if there are delays beyond December 31st. Are those going to be 90, 180?
Right.
What's going to be like? So the days are ticking
yeah.
until we get to December 31st and see, okay, did they get a deal done?
Right.
Or are we going to be talking about this into 2024?
Yeah. Tiger Woods saying he never wants the players to be left in the dark ever again. So Tiger has a busy few days coming up. We're playing a pro-am tomorrow. And then on Thursday, first round pairing alongside his good buddy, you could say his protege in Justin Thomas, a two-time PGA champ. They tee off at 11:52 a.m. Eastern time. We'll have his warm-up on golf today. It'll be a lot of fun watching Tiger kind of putting the pieces back together. You can watch Tiger all week long, Thursday and Friday on Golf Channel and Peacock starting at 1:30. Then on Saturday, noon Eastern on Golf Channel and also on NBC and Peacock at 2:30. Then on Sunday, the final round, 11:30 a.m. Eastern on Golf Channel and over on NBC and Peacock as well.